Our text for this morning is the lesson that was just read. Grace and peace be unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. We all know someone that's always complaining. It seems that no matter what you do for these people, it's just not good enough. They're dissatisfied. They're the kind of people that if Jesus Christ himself were standing right before them, they would find fault with him too. All they can do is complain, complain, complain. That's just the case with the Israelites in our text this morning. It's been 1 month since they left Egypt. 1 month, and already they're complaining. Already they're grumbling. Grumbling that they're going to die of starvation here in the wilderness. Grumbling to the point that they wish they were back in Egypt as slaves under the taskmasters, making their bricks without straw. Their rationale? Well, at least there we had three meals a day. Grumbling to the point that they wish they had died back in Egypt under the plagues, rather than be here in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. Complain, complain, complain. Those Israelites were quite a lot, weren't they? I mean, they were never satisfied with anything that God ever did for them. They really deserved every hardship they had, didn't they? Well, before we become too judgmental, I think we better stop and take a look at our own lives. Because I think all too often, we're just as bad as the Israelites. All too often, all we can do is complain, complain, complain. Not a day goes by on this campus where phrases such as these aren't heard. Boy, that prof dish it out. He's crazy. He's got us reading 1,000 pages this quarter. And on top of that, he thinks he's going to give us 4 exams. And can you believe it? He actually thinks I have time to write an 8-to-10-page paper. What, does he think that's the only class I'm taking this quarter? Boy, this place drives me crazy. When I was over in the administration building this morning, I saw 6 different people. Not one of them knew what was going on around here. About all I got for my time were 6 quick, easy lessons in the shuffle. I'll tell you, when I go in for my placement interview, I'm asking to get as far away from this place as I can get. You can't get me far enough away from this place. I'll tell you. You know, I hate these profs that have you role play in class. I can't stand to role play. And then there's these professors that have you write reports and give them in class. What do they think I'm paying them for anyway? I tell you, nobody knows nothing around here. And so the complaints go. The violin music comes on. Oh, my car doesn't work. Oh, I got problems at home. Oh, finances. Oh, and on we wail. Underneath all of that grumbling, underneath all of that complaining, what are we really saying? Moses told the people of Israel, you're not complaining against myself and Aaron. You're complaining against God. And ultimately, isn't that what we're doing? Complaining against God because things here at the seminary aren't going the way we quite envisioned them to go? We thought we would come right in here and we'd be out in no time. There'd be no hard work to take care of. You see, just as Israel never seemed to be satisfied with anything that God ever did for them, so are we. Just as Israel lacked faith in God to meet their everyday needs, so we do too. Israel completely forgot all of the miracles that God had performed back in Egypt. They forgot the crossing of the Red Sea. They forgot the drinking of the water at Marah. And we have forgotten that each quarter we find these mysterious gift envelopes in our mailboxes. And I don't know quite how God does this, but each quarter he takes that 9 weeks of 24-hour days and somehow makes it enough time to get all of that work done, to get all of those papers written and handed in on time. You see, rather than go to God right away on that first day of the quarter and say, "Well, God, I know that you don't lead me where your grace cannot keep me. But boy, on this first day, as I look towards the next 9 weeks, it's gotten me pretty nervous. There seems to be an awful lot of work to do, and I'm not sure I can handle that task. But Lord, I come before you in prayer, and I pray, Lord, that you would give me good quality study time this quarter. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me the ability to study, to make good use of my time. And I pray, Lord, that as the quarter progresses, you would give me time not only for study, but for my family, for my job, time to meet all of my needs." Now, rather than do that the first day of the quarter, we would much rather spend it and the rest of the days of the quarter complaining, complaining, complaining. But amidst all of that grumbling, all of that complaining, God is there in his grace, meeting our everyday needs. Moses writes to the Israelites, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your murmurings against the Lord." See, against all of that grumbling, all of that unbelief of Israel, God was there providing their everyday needs. In this particular case, it was enough food for them to eat. Now, Kyle and Dalich, in their commentary on this particular passage, have this. They give this pictorial description of what was given the Israelites to eat. The quail that literally covered the ground in the evening was so heavy, and especially during the migratory seasons in the fall and the spring, that you could knock down 3 to 4 quail at a time with just a stick. And that these quail were so tired that you could just reach out and grab them with your bare hands. And the manna that God provided in the morning, as the dew lifted off the desert floor, the manna was there as thick as a heavy frost. Each day the Israelites would go out, and they would gather enough for that day. Those that required a lot of manna would go out and gather a lot of manna, and it would be enough. And those that needed a little manna would go out and they would harvest in a little bit of a manna. And that was enough. This chapter says that no one lacked in food to eat. And on Friday they had to gather twice as much because Saturday was the Sabbath and there would be no manna that day. Now it doesn't mean that on Friday God sent twice as much manna. The people just had to go out and gather twice as much. The same amount was given each day. God more than adequately met the people's needs of Israel. The same applies to you and me. Amidst our lack of faith in God to provide enough time each quarter for studying, for taking tests, for writing papers, amidst that lack of faith, God is there providing the time. I don't know how he does it, but each quarter I marvel at how I get all of this work done in that time period that we're given to complete everything. But then again, God's pretty good at working under a tight schedule. Think of Joshua and the Israelites defeating the Amorites. They were soundly defeating the Amorites, but the day was starting to wear on, and they didn't quite have the job finished yet. And so Joshua prayed to the Lord. The Lord made the sun and the moon stand still for an entire day, so that Joshua and the Israelites would have enough time to defeat the Amorites. Or take Elijah and the woman at Zarephath and her son. She only had enough flour and oil left in her 2 jars to make a cake for her and her son. And then she told Elijah, "We're going to go out and die." But God did a marvelous thing, because each day that the woman went to the jars, God made that flour and oil last. Each day she went to those jars and made enough cakes for her, her son, and Elijah. And this went on until the end of the famine. God's promises to meet our needs run throughout the entire gamut of Scripture, out of Philippians. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." "Fear not," out of Isaiah, "for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. And out of Joshua, I will not fail you, nor forsake you. All we need to do is to put our trust in Christ to meet our everyday needs. Not just those of food and clothing and daily work, the things that Luther mentions in the Catechism, but even the things that we think are too small for God to worry about, too insignificant, such as studying, such as tests, such as writing papers. We all know that the first miracle that Jesus performed was at the wedding at Cana, where he changed the water into wine. And as you look at that miracle, you note a very interesting observation, that God wasn't very dramatic in this miracle. He didn't come and heal a leper, raise a man from the dead, or give sight to a blind man. But he showed his concern for the common everyday needs of his people. In this particular case, it was for a wedding couple that had run out of wine at their reception. Jesus saw this need and desired to fulfill it. And how did he meet that need? Listen to what the wine steward says. He tells the groom that at most wedding receptions, the good wine is served first, and then the cheap stuff last, so that when everybody's had enough to drink, they don't know the difference. But you have saved the best wine until last. The best wine. How much best wine? A couple bottles? A case or two? Nope. 120 to 180 gallons of the best wine. When Jesus meets a need, he meets a need. Complain, complain, complain. We're really pretty good at it, aren't we? But amidst all that grumbling, God is there each day fulfilling our needs. May God take us grumblers, us complainers, and strengthen us in our faith, that we would trust in him to meet all of our needs, even the little itty-bitty ones. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.